Well, thank the Lord this morning. I don't know about you, but I hope I do, but I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. One song said, "This is the blessing I long have craved," or something like that. So thank the Lord this morning that God loves you and me, and that we can be His, and that we can be His in this life, and not only in the eternal life, but we can be His in this life. Till every what chord is tuned in heavenly love. We were singing that song, the thought came across my mind, as Christians, sometimes we need tune-ups. You know, we have automobiles and lawnmowers and sewing machines, and you know, you have to take your sewing machine in every now and then and get the timing worked on. Lord, help us today, as Christians, as we travel this way, that we allow the Lord to tune us, that we allow the Lord to turn the screws and adjust the mixtures, that we allow the Lord to look in our hearts and see where the carbon buildup is or where the things are kind of stagnant in our life and come and stir us up. Because if He doesn't do that, we'll just kind of get a little lethargic and we'll get lazy. And first thing you know, the things that we thought were so bad at one time, we'll let them begin to be built back in our lives. And we'll find ourselves back in a pit where we didn't want to be and where we came from. So Lord, help us to allow God to tune our hearts. Tune our hearts with Him and tune our hearts with each other. That's very important in our life, that we allow the Lord to work within us. In so doing, we can be perfected and we can be in the image of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about this morning a little bit about being in the image of Christ or being like Christ. And my little thought came to me this way, being identified with Christ. I'd like for us to consider this morning what it means in part. I surely this won't be an exhaustive study. But for you and me to look at what it means, in part at least, to be identified with Christ. I don't know about whether you've seen this or not, but oh, it's been 15, 20 years ago I first saw this little slogan. It was said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Identified with Jesus Christ. If we got called in by the Gestapo or whoever today and held before a tribunal, would there be enough witnesses against us to say that man or that woman is a Christian? If I was arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? God help me and you today to recognize that it's a very serious matter when I say I'm a Christian. That there are certain things that God should expect, that Christ should expect, that the world should expect out of our lives. We should not say the name of Christ vainly. We should not profess the name Christian as a byword. We should not profess the name Christian just because we come to this building or to another Church of God building somewhere. But we should be able to profess the name Christian because there's been an experience wrought of God in our lives. And the old things, saints, the old things have indeed should have passed away, and the whole beauty of salvation should become alive in us. And there should be works, and there should be actions, and there should be words. There should be a lifestyle to back up the profession of our life. Are we today truly in our heart identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? When I think about that, studied a little bit about it and thought a little bit about it, the old song says it causes me to tremble. It causes me to recognize what a high calling, and the Bible speaks about a holy calling. And I'm afraid as people sometimes, if we're not careful, we will fail to recognize what it truly means to say, I'm a Christian. That I am a child of the living God. That I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It does not mean continuing on the way I used to continue. But it means in our lives radical changes. Radical changes. Profound changes. One of the most profound examples of a change that the Lord wrought, I guess, was the man that had the legion of devils. And when the Lord got through working with the man, and it really didn't take a long time, it seems like, he was sitting at the feet of the Lord, fully clothed and worshiping Him. May God help us today to recognize that same Lord is the Lord of our life, and He is willing and wants to make profound changes in our life, radical changes. The scripture I'd like to read in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse, I believe. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, or as Christ is, so are we in this world. What a statement. And what a testimony. When I say that I'm a Christian, that means a follower of. Someone who adheres to and follows the doctrine and the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and He has become the Lord of my life. What a statement to say. As Christ is, so am I. As Christ is in this world, so we ought to be also. And I'm challenged by that, aren't you? Think about the profoundness of that. Think of the magnitude of that. Think of the depths of that. Think of your recollections of the life of Jesus Christ as you've read the gospel. Think about what He did and how He acted and what He did not do and the way He talked and His very person and how He was meek and humble and how everything about Jesus Christ cut against the grain of the flesh. Everything about Jesus Christ. He said, turn the other cheek. What a statement. What a statement. That goes against what you and I believe. When someone would take you to court, don't go in there and rail and make all kind of accusations and get carnal with him, but give him that little extra. What a statement. What a statement. May God help us. When he says you do your alms, don't do it to be seen of men. That's not what people like to do. The flesh likes to say, look what I'm doing. Not much self-promotion in being a Christian. But he said, and I want us to get this little thought, as he is, so are we in this world. That perfect love cultivating in us the image of Jesus Christ. That perfect love that cast out fear. That love of God that he wants to perfect in you and me, causing you and me to be shaped into the image and the very body. Think about it now. We've already talked. Someone said something about it last night, I believe, about Christ is the head and we're the body. Think about what that means to say we are the body of Christ. How should you that live in this area, how should we live? How should I that profess Christ in Vernita, Oklahoma, how should I be living? I am to be an example of the believer, an example of Jesus Christ in all holiness, in all righteousness, in all meekness, in all love, in all long-suffering, in all temperance, in all of the fruits that we consider Christ would do this. Then we should expect to see that in my life, in your life. And if we come short, we need a tune-up. If we're coming short this morning, God help us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, turn the screws. Pour in the blood. Pour on the blood. Pour in your spirit and purge me and wash me. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. I praise the Lord for that scripture. You know, a long time I used to think, our God is a consuming fire. That He just goes out and punishes sinners, and He goes out and takes judgment to the world, and everybody that doesn't believe His way is going to be consumed in a lake of fire. Well, that's true in part, but I had another little thought one time. Our God is a consuming fire, that He will take the dross out of our life and consume that. If I will come to Him and let Him purge me and wash me and cleanse me, He will take that dross that's in your life, that thing that you're struggling with, that attitude problem, that anger, that envy, that jealousy, that pride, that worldliness, that immodesty, that thing that's in your life is causing you to constantly have trouble and causing you to have to go back to the altar. It's causing you to neglect your prayer life because it's there and you don't want to confess it before God. So therefore, you're avoiding God. He is able to take those things in our life that is causing a separation and purge them out with His blood and His spirit. He is a consuming fire. My duty, my responsibility is to recognize the high calling. The very high calling that we have been called to, saints, and that we not allow the dross of this world or the dross of self to exist. It won't coexist with God. It won't coexist with Christ. So as we are, or as He is, rather, so should we desire to be and ought to be. In fact, we're commanded to be in this world. Amen. Teaching us to live, what is it, godly, soberly, righteously in this world, in this present world. Saints, we have to be real careful. The Lord is willing to tune us. You get an old piano, or not necessarily be an old piano, you just get a piano, and you move that piano two or three times across the room, or you move that piano across town two or three times, you let it bounce in the back of a truck, you know what, you go in there and you punch middle C and it sounds like anything but middle C. It needs tuning. So what do? Do you get in there? Most of us don't know how to tune it. We call in somebody that knows how. Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Come and tune me. Come and help me. The greatest way to get help from the Lord is to ask for it. It's to ask for it. Say, Lord, help me. But you know what? We sometimes want to deny. We're masters at it. We're masters, and I say we, meaning people, that we're just masters at denying. That's them, that's them, that's those, but it's not me. Oh, may we be so honest with ourselves that we say, Lord, it's me. I'm just having struggles. You know, in marriage counseling or counseling people that are at differences with one another, you know what they always want the minister or the counselor to do? 9 times out of 10, work on that other side. Get him straight, preacher. Get him straight, brother. Have you ever noticed that, some of you? People love for you to... Two people have differences, two brothers that are at odds against one another, and they want to say, well, he did so-and-so, straighten him out. God help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. And He said He would lift us up. So when we come to these places in life, we've got a duty, as Christ is. So should we be. When things happen, when temptation comes, when the movie world, the television sets, the immodesty, when the anger, when all these things come away, had a little thought about that one time. I just got, you know, how do we picture Christ? I want to say it that way. How do we picture Christ? Do we picture Christ getting in a fist fight? Do we picture Christ, relating it maybe to our modern time, do we picture Christ sitting in front of the TV set with a, what do they call these things, remote controls, flipping channels and drinking a cold beer or doing whatever people do that do these things? Do we picture Christ doing something like that? Do we picture Christ lying, or do we picture Christ allowing His thoughts just to run wild on the world? As Christ is, think about it, saints, as Christ is, so should we be in this world. However I picture Christ in His holiness, His pristine glory, in His beauty, in His majesty, in His awesomeness, that's how you and I should strive to be. It's quite a challenge now, isn't it? Now, I know it's a challenge because I'm in the flesh. And I'm flesh and blood, and I struggle against the things that would say, that's not necessary. You don't have to be. May I say to us today, we've heard this already some in the meeting, be very careful of human reasoning. Be very careful of what you think. Brother Darrell touched on that some last night. Because your thinking is not the thinking of the Lord. Your ways and my ways are not the ways of the Lord. Be very careful what you think. Compare it to the Word of God. The plumb line. You know, it came down. And it's straight. Something like that. And here's your thinking over here. And here's your thinking over here. There's my thinking and your thinking and all this. Doesn't line up too well. Be very careful that we take our thoughts and our attitudes and what I allow and what you allow in your life and take it to the Lord and say, Lord, how does this line up with you? What do you think about this? You know what? God will tell you. And you won't beat around the bush. I have found it, as far as I know, every time I've displeased the Lord, every time I've done something that He wasn't happy with, I didn't have to wonder. I knew. God in His faithfulness let me know I didn't want you to do that. I told you not to. But you know what happens? Sometimes we know what the answer is already. So we don't ask. We don't ask. God help us to ask. And He may say yes, and He may say no. He may say, that's not like me at all. Get that out of your life. Don't have anything to do with it. Walk away from it. And what are we going to do then? Lord help us to be like Him in this world. Let's look a little bit at Him this morning. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in the 9th verse, allow the Lord to tune us today. You know, we practice our singing. Let's practice living for Jesus. We practice the piano, or musical instruments. Let's exercise ourselves unto godliness. Let's be willing to punish ourselves. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. May God help us. One paraphrase of that is, I give myself a punch under the eye. Oh, now, wait a minute. That's not any fun, is it? It's much easier to give in to the flesh than to give the flesh a punch under the eye. It's much easier to rail than it is to take the railing. It's much easier to give abuse than it is to take abuse. Lord, help us to be willing to give ourselves, discipline ourselves, if you will. Discipline ourselves. A disciple, someone who is willing to fall under the disciplines of Jesus Christ. Someone who is willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Someone who is willing to turn and go with Christ at the reproach of the world. He said in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in the 9th verse, I find it very interesting when I follow Christ and when I read about Him. It's a very challenging way. I don't know of a way more challenging because, first of all, He's holy. And without Him, we're not. Without Him, there's no holiness. Without Him, there is no righteousness. And I find right along the path of life, I find my ways kind of crossing His ways. And me being quite human, I find a little times there that I'd like to think, well, maybe I'm right, and start justifying myself in the things that I allow, in the things that I permit in my life. It's a dangerous place if we get in the habit of that. You know, children want to justify themselves to their parents. They want to make excuses. Folks, excuses get you in a lot of trouble. You don't really get places with God with excuses. You don't really go places to the higher heights of Christianity by making excuses. But you get places with God by humbling yourself and saying, I'm the one. You get places with the Lord by saying, I'm sorry. You get places with the Lord when things come up short and you say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And help me not to do those things again. And confess your faults. He said here in Hebrews 2 and 9, when I look at Christ, these are some of the things we see. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, first of all, we look at a Christ who was all-powerful. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was the Creator. But He had a love for someone greater than His, what shall I say, the responsibility that came on Him was greater than the comforts of heaven. Maybe I'll say it that way. May I say to you and me today, the responsibility of being a Christian, the responsibility of being Christ-like is more important than the conveniences of the flesh. It's more important than the attitudes we were harboring. The being a Christian and being a light unto this world, being as Christ in this world, that's a higher calling than satisfying the carnal needs of myself, my mind, your mind, and your flesh. That's a higher calling. And we must recognize, for that reason I must lay down my life. The Lord recognized there was something greater than His comfort in heaven, and He was willing to come down here. That's one thing I want us to note, that He was willing to lay down His life. Now, as Christ is in this, so am I in this world. Think about it. As Christ was willing to take up the responsibility of redemption and the cross, am I willing to lay down my life for that which He died to give me? It's quite a challenge, really. And how many times do we find ourselves coming up short? How many times do we see a death we need to die, and we're not willing to say, yes, Lord, by Your grace, I'll die that death. But we justify the action, we justify the deed, we harbor thoughts, we harbor attitudes, we harbor things that are contrary to the Lord, and yet we name the name of Christ. There will be a judgment. There will be a time when all deeds and thoughts will be brought before the august majesty on high, and He will judge the righteous and the sinner. May we be so careful that as we name the name of Christ, that we depart from iniquity, that we not harbor those things, and we allow Christ to slay us, or we be slain for Him. He said that by the grace of God should taste the death for every man. Taste death for every man. For it became Him from whom all things are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Oh, that's a word we don't enjoy too much.
No.
You know, it's something natural about you and me. Let's get out of this thing. You know, you get a sore toe. Let's soak that thing in water. Let's get the pain out of here. When we get in a situation that's uncomfortable, let's make it comfortable. But the Lord Jesus Christ Himself learned obedience in the things that He suffered. The things that He permitted to come His way, the pain, the agony, the humiliation, and oh, how it contradicts you and me. Do you think the Lord enjoyed the humiliation? Do you think the Lord enjoyed being scoffed at? Do you think the Lord enjoyed the ridicule of the people He came to save? Do you think He enjoyed the rebuffing? Do you think He enjoyed the fact that He wasn't necessarily like everybody else, and that the Pharisees didn't appreciate Him and the Sadducees hated Him? Do you think the Lord just rejoiced in that and said, oh, I'm so glad this is happening? If He was in the flesh, I think it kind of hurt Him too, and it'll hurt us. But God help us to recognize that He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. suffering. Very important word here, because it's something about you and me. We just assume not to suffer. We just assume not to lay down our way and take up the ways of the cross if we know that it's going to make us kind of a stand out in the crowd. If the things that we profess go against the grain of humanity, then there's something about us to say, is there any way to avoid this? Is it any way to avoid the name, the things that a Christian has to do and yet still go to heaven? Oh, may we understand, our Lord suffered. How can you and me choose to do anything else but that? How can we say, well, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I want to go my way, or I want to take the things with me, that we recognize we have to divest ourselves and get rid of the baggage that sometimes, many times, we pick up and take with us. You know, you go on an airplane, they got a little thing there as you check in, a carry-on luggage or whatever it is. You got to stick your carry-on luggage in that box, and if it won't fit in that box and you got to check it, you can't take it on the airplane. Oh, how many times do we check our baggage? How many times do you and me check what we're carrying around in our heart? And it's amazing how long we'll carry things. It's amazing how long we will harbor things. It's amazing how long we'll take an old sack on our back and just walk around with it. And after a while, we get the glory in it. After a while, I think, well, I've been mad at him so long, I forgot why, but I sure do hate him anyway. You know, people get to arguing, people get to complaining, and after a while, they lose sight of what started it all. It's just they've almost started enjoying the separation. Well, they don't really, but it's almost as if they do. It's amazing sometimes the things that we carry around with us that are detrimental to our soul. I want to say something else about prayer life. There's a place where it starts showing up just about in everybody all the time. When we start getting weak in our soul, you got a direct line back to that person's prayer life. When people start allowing things in their lives that's unlike Christ, you can just about without exception ask them, how's your prayer life? And they'll say this, well, it's not so good. God help us to find the power of a secret closet this morning. What did Christ do? Before he went to that cross, where did he go before that? His soul was exceedingly sorrowful. Did he go out and do things with the boys? Did he go out and pamper the flesh? No, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he humbled himself and he cried out for mercy. He cried out for help. He cried out for grace. He was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He knew what he had to do. He didn't try to shut it. He went there and got the grace and the power of God to do it. Many times we fail to go to the Lord to receive the power and the grace to put down our way, to avoid the things of the world. And they start creeping in, and then we start saying, well, I'm going to hurry my prayers. I'm going to hurry my relationships, or we're going to just forsake that. It's amazing. You talk with people at the altar when they come down for problems in their life and spiritual needs, and almost without exception, I can say, or you could say to them, you're avoiding your prayer life, aren't you? And almost without exception, they'll say, yes. They're missing something. Folks, that's where we get honest before the Lord. That's where we get naked and open before the Lord. That's where we say, Lord, this is me. And I don't want to take away from any kind of prayer. Public prayer, prayer with your children, family worship, that's extremely important. But don't ever avoid that secret closet experience. That's where the power comes down. That's where authority comes down. That's the place that we as Christians, I would say, neglect as much as anything else. If somewhere in the daytime, get alone, or sometime in a 24-hour period, at least once, get alone with God and tell Him everything. Tell Him everything. If you're mad, tell Him. If you're tempted, tell Him. If you're tempted with the televisions and the world and the movies, if you're tempted with sports, if you're tempted with... Tell Him! Say, Lord, that it's just tempting me, Lord. If you're tempted with lust, tell Him. If you're mad at your wife, tell Him. If you're angry at your children or if your daddy didn't do you right, you feel like, tell Him. That's where the power to overcome that thing. Our God is a consuming fire. Be like Him. He said, Father, I don't want to do this. Is there any way to get out of it? That's my words. But He was not trying to say, oh Lord, I'm so happy that I... He didn't deny His feelings. Don't deny your feelings before God. Don't deny them. Don't go to the Lord and say, well, I'm mad at so-and-so. You make them do so-and-so, Lord. No, Lord, help me to show Christ. Help me to turn the other cheek. Help me to walk away from that temptation. When the boys get to telling the dirty stories, Lord, help me to reprove them and or walk away. When the gossip starts rolling, Lord, help me to get away from that. When the telephone rings, did you hear what Brother so-and-so did? Say, I'd just soon not to hear about it. Thank you. God, help us to get away from the gossip phone. Help us to get away from the tale-bearing phone. Help us to get away from sowing discord among the brethren. Rather, Lord, let us be healed. Lord, what can I do to heal my brother? What can I do to save my brother? What can I do for the congregation? How can I be an asset? How can I be a blessing? We don't want to be thorns, but the flesh is a thorn. God, help us to be like Christ. And what weights we carry. But Jesus Christ went to the Father and said, is there a way out? If it's possible. If it's possible. But if it's not, thy will be done. Can we say that today? Are you struggling under a load trying to get out of it? And you're willing to do anything it takes to get out of it? Except humble yourself and say, Lord, bless me in the trial. Bless me in the trial. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause, listen to this, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Spoke about being identified with Christ. It'd be a terrible thing to go through life. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the church of God, body of Christ, and have to stand before him on that day, which we all will, and say, hear him say, depart. I never knew you. Do you remember the excuses they made? But Lord, we did this and we did that. We cast out devils and all these things in thy name. And he's many mighty works, but he says, I never knew you. I never was able to identify with you. You harbored things. You kept things. You wouldn't allow the changes to be made. You never put away the old man. You never crucified the flesh. You did things for vainglory. You did it for show. You did it for pomp. You did it for revenge. You did it for gossip. You did it for envy. You did it for the things of the flesh. All the way through, you were serving the flesh. And never once could I identify with you. That would be a terrible place. But he said there's an experience whereby he is not ashamed. Call me brother, to call you sister, to call us his children. That's the experience we must want, saints. And it's not the way of the flesh. It's not the way of the world. It's not the way of entertainment. It's not the way of the sports. It's not the way of carnal thinking. It's not the books we read. It's not the things out here that we allow into our life. Folks, the world is progressively getting worse. Now, that's not too profound. I hope you know that. But it's amazing how we still want to identify with the world. Be careful right there. Yes, we're in the world, but Christ said we're not of the world. The Bible said we're not of the world. But isn't it amazing sometimes how we want to be identified with the world? It's comfortable that way. It's comfortable to the flesh. But help us to be a fool for Christ. To be identified with him so he can say, I'm not ashamed of him. And God help us not to be ashamed of Christ. Over in Luke now, I'd like for us to consider some thoughts. The 9th chapter. I'd hate for the Lord to be ashamed of me. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself. And when that happens, I need to go tell the Lord about it. And I need to ask forgiveness. I need to ask for mercy. I need to ask for healing. And I need to ask the Lord to grant me grace and power over that thing. In Luke, the 9th chapter, 18th verse, and it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Well, I suppose today, if we'd take up a little questionnaire and pass it out, ask you to write that down, we might even get some different answers here today. Yeah. Certainly, if we went downtown Los Angeles and handed out 1 million copies, we'd probably get a lot of different answers. Yeah. The world has a lot of various concepts of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The world has a lot of ideas, a myriad of ideas. all kind of opinions of what Christ is, who He is, what He allows. Some don't even believe that He is. And you'd get all manner of answers when we'd ask, who do you say? Who does the world say that Jesus Christ is? They answered Him, said, and we have to be careful of that. Back up a little bit. We have to be careful of that. Because those voices that are saying Christ is this, or Christ is not this, or Christ is that, or Christ is not that, Christ is this way and Christ is that way, they're very loud. They're very loud. And they will tickle our ears. And they will appeal to our flesh. And they will portray Christ. Well, I love Jesus. I love the Savior. And I'm allowed to do this, or I do this. You know, I'm a member of the little league team and all these kind of things. And look, I've got this nice, beautiful TV set, and I only watch Christian programs on it. God forbid, we must watch and be aware that Satan is out to deceive. And He said, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. He will do it through human reasoning, human thinking, human ideas, and the human flesh. So when I start recognizing there's a myriad of things out there that says Christ is this and Christ is that, I must be really careful and look into the Word of God and find out, like Brother Darrell said, what is right. Yes. And when I see things that are contrary to Christ, then I've got to recognize that's not Jesus, and I've got to get away from that thing. Don't entertain it in my life. Don't entertain it in my thinking, but get away from it. Joseph knew the relationship with Potiphar's wife was not right. Yes. And he ran. How many times do we kind of just saunter away looking back and making excuses? Is there any way? You reckon it? And we kind of jump back over and then we jump back away. Lord, help us to get off the fence. I'll tell one on my son. He's not here, so he can't get too embarrassed. My oldest son, when he was in college, I don't know exactly the age, 20, I'll say 21, he was having some troubles. Not bad troubles, but he was having some troubles. And he couldn't really get his feet where they planted on the ground. He didn't know this or he didn't know that. So I had a corral at that time. I had a few cows. Some people had before me had some horses out there. So we were out there talking, he and me, one of these father and son chats. And the corral was made out of lumber, and it had a 2x4 flatways running across the top of it all the way around. And I said, I won't call his name since I have two of them. I said, I want you to sit on that fence. So he sat on the fence. I said, now I want you to throw one leg on one side and one leg on the other side. So he did that. I said, now what I want you to do is pick your arms up. He picked his arms up. Now I want you to pick your legs up. So he picked his legs up. I said, is that comfortable? He said, no, it's not. I said, riding the fence is just that way. It's not a very comfortable place. God help us to let God be true and every man a liar. Get off the fence and get on Jesus' side. Let Him be identified with Him in all holy conduct, in all holy conversation, in the thoughts, in the words we say, in what we let our eyes look on, what we let our mind think on, where we let our feet go, what we let our hands touch, what we pick up to read. God help us to be holy in all manner of conversation. For He alone is holy, and He's called us to be like Him in this present world. God forbid that we get a hankering for the world, and we know we need to run from that thing, but we keep looking back when its tentacles are reaching out and reaching out. The world is going to a place called hell, saints. It's going to a place called the devil's lake of fire. And if I flirt with that thing, it will catch me, and I can't help but go to it. It's too powerful for me. Who am I to resist Satan? What did the angels say? They didn't issue railing accusations against Satan. They knew better than that. They said, the Lord rebuke you. My power over the devil is through Jesus Christ and living holy and pure and clean and close to Him and like Him. I have no power to rebuke the devil. I can't rebuke the devil. Who am I? Who are you? Who am I to flirt with Potiphar's wife? Who am I to say, well, I don't know. I do like the way you comb your hair. I do like the way your shoes look on you. Who am I to say things like that? I've got to run from my life. Flee. Flee temptation. Get away from it. Christ, like Christ is, so are we in this world. Think about that. Are you identified with Him? Or you got a flirtation with the world going on? Have you got a flirtation with sin? Have you got a flirtation with pride? Have you got a flirtation with lifting up self? Have you got a flirtation of wanting to be seen and predominant
and people noticing you? Have you got a flirtation with, and I'm not much on preaching on things, but we live in a world of things. You know, there's literature out there that's just, you know, maybe there's not profanity and all this stuff in it, but it's unwholesome. It doesn't feed the spirit, it doesn't feed the soul. Have I got a flirtation with literature? Books. If I got a flirtation out there and I say, well, just a little bit. A little bit of this won't hurt. The Bible answered that. I'll tell you what's right. A little leaven is a whole lump. That's what right is. Oh, God, help us. It's not a way, folks, for us to say, well, Potiphar's wife, Potiphar's not here. That's true. Maybe flirting with things. Joseph had it right. Joseph had it right. He ran. Oh, I left my coat. I don't need that coat. I'm getting out of here. Don't you think he wasn't tempted? He was a young man. He had emotions and hormones like any other person does. He was tempted. I'm convinced of that. But he recognized the right thing to do was to run. And the wrong thing would have been to go back and pick his coat up. God help us. How are we like Christ? Are we finding things of this world appealing, and we're testing them, we're tasting of them? God help us not to imbibe the poison of this world. Anyway, he went on. The Son of Man, let's see. They answered him, said, John the Baptist, some Elias, and some say, thou art one of the old apostles, is risen again. Had all kind of answers. Then Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And that's an important question. I know you've heard it preached on and talked about a lot, but it really comes down to that. It's not what the world says Christ is. It's who you say he is. Is he Lord? Is he the majestic one? Is he the mighty one? Is he really the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Is he the only true shepherd? Is he the only chief shepherd? Is he the one that will save you and deliver you? Is he the very holiness of God personified? Who do you say he is? A lot of words going around who Christ is, but to you, who is he? Is he your lover of your soul? Is he the one that saved you? Is he the one that cleansed you up? Is he the one that made a new creature out of you? Is he the one that brought your home back together? Is he the one that brought your children back home? Is he the one that has manifested himself with mercy and love and forgiveness? Is he the one that has manifested himself on the cross? Who is he to you today? May we fall in love with him. Amen. If you love me, he said. Not much of a qualification there as far as a long litany of things to do. He just said, if you love me. That's right. If you love me. Yeah. Do we really love him? Do we really want to be identified with him? Listen, do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? When my wife and I were, before she died, I just loved to be identified with my wife. Listen, I had a lady one time at work when I used to work. And you know at work people have this bad habit sometimes of running down their spouse. My old man, my old lady. Don't say things like that. You know, he won't ever do this, won't ever, you know. They just talk and complain and laugh at. And one of the ladies that I worked with, she and I were talking one day, and she said, Stanley, I never hear you say anything bad about your wife. And this was before my wife was very sick. And I said, no, you don't, and you never will. Because I said, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. I said, I love her so much. She don't do anything wrong. That's kind of, you know, maybe exaggerating a little bit. She had a few flaws, I suppose. But I meant it, though. I just enjoyed being identified with her. When she entered the room, I got perked up. I got happier. Why, we could just look across the room at each other and smile and feel better. God help us to love Jesus so much that he just perks us up and tunes us up and livens us up. Oh, that we lift up holy hands to our Lord and King, that we not be ashamed to be seen with him and identified with him. We don't have anything to hold our heads down about. I'm a Christian. God has saved me. I live a holy life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. To be identified with him is not something to be ashamed of, folks, but it's something to be happy, joyful. Like I said, it didn't bother me at all to be identified with my wife. You know, I just think for you to be identified with me, that was, the hard part. But for me to be identified with her, folks, that was glory. Yeah. Well, I'm humbled that Christ would call me his brother. Yeah. But I'm sure thankful I can call him my Savior. You know, I don't have trouble relating to him. If anything, I've got to keep myself in subjection that he will relate to me. But oh, how quick we are to revert. People revert so quickly. Things happen to you, and if you're not really where you ought to be, folks, you can see some things crop up real quick. You get in the heat of the battle. You get in the money squabble. You get in the money squabble. And folks, you can see some carnal things come out of you that you didn't know was there. Or maybe you knew, but you had been suppressing them. You get in a squabble in a relationship between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And you can see things crop up there that, you know, they just bring out the things. In a heated battle, it brings things out of our lives. And folks, we are in a heated battle against sin and corruption in this old world. Right out here, we talk about, you know, I'm back home, I talk about Hollywood out there, but folks, it's Hollywood here. You know, it's polluting the minds of people day in and day out. This old advertisement world, like I say, I don't want to think you think I'm fanatical. I read magazines, son. All right, obviously, I read them or I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I couldn't say they're in there. But you pick up a magazine on an airplane. You go to somewhere and you pick up a magazine. And what do they do to advertise things with? Sensuality. You just don't show a pair of blue jeans. You got to show someone in a provocative way to sell the blue jeans. You want to sell some perfume, you just don't say, here's a bottle of perfume and it sure is smelling good. That's not enough. You've got to get an almost unclothed person.
Yes.
God help us.
Yes.
To watch these things. Yes. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you not to. I'm not saying don't you pick up a magazine and look through it. Some, yes, you should. Not do. I'm not saying don't look at a magazine. But I'm saying be aware that strewn through that thing, is temptations and the things of this world. It's not like it's way out there. But it comes in little old Vanita, Oklahoma, population 6,500. It's everywhere. God help us that we be identified with Jesus Christ. He went on, Lord help me to redeem the time. He said, and straightly he charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. He said, the Son of Man must be. God help me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I must also, saints, be crucified. My ways, my attitudes, if you want to know peace, they've got to be crucified. If you want to be in a relationship that you can go to heaven, you've got to die a death. Songwriter said, I saw a death, I had to die. I'm not going to tell you it's pleasing to the flesh. Christ didn't go whistling to the cross. And when we find ourselves coming against the flesh in our lives, we won't just whistle our way through it. We'll have to humble ourselves, and we'll shed tears, and we'll cry out for grace. But by the grace of God, we'll be able to turn the other cheek. We'll be able to pray for them who despitefully use us. We'll be able to give a cup of cold water to our enemy. We'll be able to cook them a meal and take it to them. We'll be able to let them have that 20 feet of land over there they say is theirs. It means something to be a Christian. It means something. Saints, it's a hard way sometimes, but it's a very hard way for the flesh. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. How can I say then, as a Christian, I'll get my way in everything? You know, the thing we have to watch out for, we live in a country that's full of rights. Thank the Lord for U.S. I'm not an anarchist. I love America. But we live in a country that's full of rights. And this is the thing you hear said so much. It's my right. Well, what if Jesus had said, it's my right not to have to die because I didn't sin? You know? Then I come along and someone slaps me on the cheek, whatever. Spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, or literally speaking, however you want to think about it. And the commandment is, turn the other way. Mm-hmm. And I come up and say, nope, I've got a right not to do it, but I've got a right to slap back. Mm-hmm. What if Jesus would have said, I didn't do any wrong. My right not to die. They did it. Let them die. Oh, saints, may we see the high calling that God has called. As Christ was or is, so are we. What a challenge when you think about it. I need tuning today. I need tuning. I'm not telling you I fully arrived, but by the grace of God, I am challenged to arrive. Paul said, I press toward the mark, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I see these things, and I press toward the mark. Are we pressing today? Or are we just allowing the mark to be out there as a little something that we say, oh, that would be nice, but down here living in carnality and in sin and in the world? Something to think about, as Christ is. Then he went on, said he'd be slain and rise again the third day. Then in the 23rd verse, if any man will come after me, oh, listen to this, folks, let him deny himself. Whew. That's a rough one, because I'm human. Let me deny myself so that Christ may shine. Let me go without so that my brother may have. Let me forfeit my pleasant thing I wanted so the church may have the means to evangelize. That comes close to home. Help me not to have to go out and buy the new car so I can help build the addition. Help me, O Lord, not to let me deny myself the literal temporal things I think. I'll tell you a word. Some of you may have been in Guthrie or something. You may have heard me say this. But there's a word we need to watch out for. It's, I don't know how you spell it for sure. You're a better speller than me. Correct me. It's G-O-T-T-A. Got it. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? I got it. You know, I've got to have this. I've got to have that. Well, it's wrong. You've got to have air. You've got to have water. You've got to have shelter. And you've got to have food. That's what you got to have. You got to have those four things. But you don't got to have John or Mary. You don't got to have a new car. You don't got to have a new boat. You don't got to have your way. That's a word we want to watch out for. I got it. I got to have this. No, I want this. I desire this. But you don't got to have it. Food, shelter, air, and water. You got to have those. But outside of that, you can get by on a lot less. And we are an affluent people. We are. Lord, help us. And we have not really disciplined ourselves, people haven't, to be able to deny themselves. We pretty well reach out and embrace what we want, within certain limitations, of course. We pretty well go after and get what we want in this life, within certain limitations, of course. We haven't really learned the discipline of denying ourselves. God, help us to learn how to discipline ourselves and say, well, I would like to have this, but I could take this that I so want, sacrifice it to the Lord from my pure heart, and take this means that I have, was going to dedicate to this thing that I thought was so important in my life, and I can help use it in the gospel work somewhere. We need to learn, folks, how to discipline ourselves and deny ourselves.
That's right.
Deny ourselves mentally.
That's
you know, we all got imaginations. Watch out for fantasizing. You know, the world tells you today, it's okay to fantasize. It's healthy. Be careful, folks. Fantasizing runs contrary to the Lord. It's a make-believe world. We all daydream. I think we do, anyway. But be careful with that thing. Because it will start promoting self, first of all. You don't ever daydream about bad things. You don't fantasize about bad things, I should say that. Oh, we all have all that sun's not in yet, and it's 12 o'clock. I know he's in a car wreck. You know, we all do those kind of things. But I'm talking about fantasizing. And we never fantasize bad things. It's always fleshly things. Things that uplift and encourage us. Put us in another unreal world. God help us. As Christ is, we must be in this world. Denying, denying, denying. And I want to tell you something. That's hard. That's hard. It's not easy. But if we love Him, we'll take up our cross daily. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays nights. You know, we had a little back home there within an hour, half drive of my house is 8 or 9 ministers. Tulsa, Neosho, Sepulpa, some other places. So once a month, we just try to get together, the brothers, it's just the brother ministers right now, we get together and just visit and talk and pray. Nothing great, nothing stupendous, just get together and talk and visit and pray. One of the brothers last Saturday, I guess it was, he brought up about the tendency of people to feel like they have fulfilled their spiritual requirements to come to church just on Sunday morning. But they have a tendency to miss Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And we talked about that a little bit. Folks, you know, we can come up with all kind of reasons not to be here. We have to deny ourselves. Have you ever noticed that? You know, people with a lot of children, it takes effort to get four or five children ready when they're outside playing on Sunday afternoon. Come in and let's eat and clean up to go to church. And you got Johnny over here and Mary over here. Oh, can we stay out a little longer? It takes discipline in our lives to get the family in to pray. It takes discipline to get the family in and clean behind their ears. We're going to church tonight. And how quick we are, saints, to make excuses for that. And say, well, maybe we just won't go this afternoon or tonight. Folks, he said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and even much so as we, more so as we see that day approaching. As we see the world encroaching, saints, we ought to come to this building or our place of assembly as often as necessary, as often as possible, to feed our souls, to pray together, to share our burdens, to worship God, to love and embrace one another, to find fellowship, because the world is not going to give it to us. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself. Make it an effort to be wherever the saints are. Amen. That's where we get strength, folks. Amen. How easy it is to say, well, I tell you, I mowed that grass a little too late. I think I'll just stay home. Look, if you have to be 10 minutes late, go to church. Amen. But we denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, following him. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Boy, that's an awesome thought, isn't it? Man, I like Stanley, and I don't want him to be lost. I really... You know, I like me. I don't go around hurting myself. I really try to take care of myself to some degree. And to think about losing it? Think about going to a devil's hell? He said if I put so much emphasis on this old flesh and my thinking, I can go to hell. That's kind of putting it in my words. You know, if I just pump old Stanley up and promote him and do what he wants and do what he likes and feed his flesh and feed his carnal mind and his appetites and his hands and his feet and etc., I'll just go to hell. Yeah. Folks, what are we feeding today? Are we feeding that which will cause you and me to go to hell? Are we feeding that which will cause us to be like Jesus Christ? Remember, as he is, so are we in this world. Can you today be identified with Jesus Christ? He said, for what advantage, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. I have never, never, never given myself over to the Lord and been sorry. And, you know, I've had my trials. I've had my tests. And everything hasn't been just pleasant. But I have never submitted to the Lord and been sorry. But oh, I've submitted to Stanley in this world and been sorry. But I've never said yes, Lord, and regretted it. Maybe it was hard. Many times it was. It wasn't always pleasant to the flesh. But I never, never regretted it. I've never yet allowed the Lord to correct me that I didn't get a blessing from it. I've never been to the point where I've said no to the flesh, and at some point the Lord come along and bless me for that. Just let me know. I appreciate that. I love you. You're my child. Or just walk up to me, spirit to speak, and put his arms around me and squeeze. And just squeeze. I was talking to Brother Jerry last night, and you know, a little personal thought I have. Now that I'm a widower, I'm not saying that for sympathy, just for fact. You know what I miss? I miss hugs. I miss hugs. You just miss hugs. Well, folks, I miss it when Jesus doesn't hug me. You know, I miss literal hugs. I pick up my grandbaby or my sons or my daughter-in-laws, and I hug them when I see them, you know. But I miss hugs. Well, folks, when Jesus doesn't come around to put his arms around me, I miss that. And when I do something that the Lord can't embrace and hug me, I need to quit that. I want him to identify with me and say, this is my child, and give me a big old hug. Put his arms around me and kiss me on the cheek and say, well done. We ought to strive for that. He said to strive, to enter in at the straight gate. He didn't say just, oh well. He said, contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. He didn't say, oh well, if you get it, fine. He said, contend, strive. Paul said, I press toward the mark. How often we give up because the flesh doesn't want to. Well, time's gone. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I don't know what the judgment's going to be like, except we're going to know it. Every eye is going to see him. And it doesn't matter what we're doing, we're going to stop it. I'm convinced of that. It doesn't matter what we're doing. I can be hating you and hating my brother, but I'm going to stop in and I'm going to look up. I'm going to forget about whatever's going on and I'm going to see him. One time down in LaRonger, there was Hammond, Louisiana, during the Hammond camp meeting there. It's on the 4th of July night, and I was up preaching, and now it's been too long ago exactly know what I was preaching on. It's on the Bible. And I was up preaching, and those of you who've been down there, there's a street, right, little blacktop street, right behind the fence on the boundary line. And there's some houses on the other side, right there on the street. And it was 4th of July. And the children across the street had firecrackers. Well, I was a child one time. So I was up preaching, and I thought to myself as I was preaching, I know what's going to happen. One of them little fellas are not going to be able to resist it. One of them firecrackers are going to come over here before the night's over with. This was going on in my mind. So I was preaching about over in Hebrews where it would be a loud noise. I mean, Peter, where there would be a loud noise, etc. And I just got on that scripture, and sure enough, seeing with the firecracker. I didn't see it. But zing went the firecracker right in the edge of the tabernacle. Pow! It went off. It couldn't have been more perfect timing. It couldn't have been more perfect timing. And I didn't get upset because I knew I was a boy one time and it would just be almost impossible. Me not to put a firecracker over there with them people. Well, children, I love y'all. I can quake with you pretty good. Anyway, I said, folks, I don't know what y'all were doing while I was up here preaching. It was a hot night. And I don't know what you were doing. I really don't. Some of you were listening. Some of you was asleep. Some of you was daydreaming. Some of you was wishing I'd sit down. Some of you was this way and under conviction. All these kind of things. But I said, I know this one thing. When that firecracker went off, everybody knew it. Everybody turned there and looked, you know. I didn't have to turn. I would have because I was looking back there. It's going to be that way, folks. It's going to be that way. The firecracker's going off. And it's going off with a loud noise. And every eye shall see him. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee will bow. And I want to tell you something. Those things that you think are so important now, they may be the very thing that takes you to the lake of fire. Are we ready to deny ourselves? I want you to look right quickly now in your own heart. And is there things in your life that Christ will not identify with? That he's already put his finger on?
Yes.
That the doctrines and the Bible have categorically said that you're not right. It's of the world. It's of the flesh. It's sensual. It's pride. It's vanity. It's all the things God and His Word condemns. Yet you're flirting with that thing. You're allowing that thing. And you're missing the hugs. You just don't have that real sweet hug from the Lord every morning, every night, or during the day. But, oh, instead of that, you just almost, you know, I could hug my wife pretty well any time. But I just can't go around hugging other women. That's wrong. That's not proper. And I'd be uncomfortable. And I'd just be uncomfortable to go up to a sister and say, oh, I'm so glad to see you and hug you. It wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be proper. The relationship wouldn't be there. And I'd feel embarrassed by it. Do you feel sometimes embarrassed to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a hug? And you say, well, how can I ask Him that because the relationship's not right? And to maybe you're craving a good hug from the Lord. Maybe you're just craving Him to say, I love you, child. Well done. But you can't go to Him because the relationship's just not right. You've been going out here in the world, out here in the world. You've been letting your mind dwell on things. You've been reading things. You've been watching things. You've been listening to things. All this old country music and all this. Oh, it's just on and on we can talk about things.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. That's it. It's everywhere. We must discipline ourselves. If we want them hugs from the Lord, we're going to have to discipline ourselves.
Yeah.
And then He'll just walk up and say, well done. Yeah. Oh, listen, folks, I've never given up a thing that the hug didn't make up for it.
Yeah.
It just made up for it. Yeah. Praise the Lord, it made up for it. I don't care about what I gave up anymore. I like the hug. It's better.
Yeah.
If you're missing the hugs, maybe it's because you're not denying yourself. Maybe it's because you're not denying yourself. You pray for me. I want to come and pray. Start learning how to deny yourself. Confess your faults to the Lord. Things got in your life and you know it's there. You've been trying to stuff it. decides to push it down and get it, make like it's not there and deny it, maybe come time the Lord and say, Lord, it's me. I've got this thing in my life, and I need a hug. I want to get rid of this thing, Lord.